This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. Dearest brothers and sisters, the way Allah has created us is that we were born pure, innocent, decent. And inside every one of us, even those who do not believe in Allah, they have a desire to be pure, to be decent, and to be known as such. But what happens when the time that you are living in, you become surrounded by indecency and filth, and people seem to be behaving inappropriately wherever you look, whether that's on social media, on the internet, on the billboards outside, whenever you turn on the TV, and even on the streets, on transport? What does a person do in those situations? It's amazing that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he foretold that there will come a time when you will see a world like this. In an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. He said, I have not left anything after me in terms of a tribulation for men worse than the temptation of women. And what that means is, though all of us will go through loads of struggles in our life, finance, health, family, one of the worst and the most difficult things we will struggle with is controlling our desires when it comes to the opposite gender. For both men and women. More so for men than for women. Now, it is not the case that Allah told us, or the Prophet told us, that this will be your struggle, and then he left us without the guidance and the direction we need in order not to fall into these problems. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us Deenul Islam, this blessing of a religion known as Islam, which comes with guidance to help us throughout every struggle and dilemma that we face in our life. And so when it comes to this temptation, if we look in the Quran, we find a beautiful example on how we can derive some type of direction and guidance so that we ourselves are protected from this fitna. And the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is a prime example. In his life, he faced four struggles, four temptations. The first temptation he faced was that of hasad, jealousy, coming from his own family members. His brothers, they despised him. They were jealous of him. That was his first test. The second test was that of shahwa, desire. Because when he became a slave, the wife of his master tried to seduce him. And that was a great trial that Yusuf alayhi salam was put into. That was his second. The third was dhulm, oppression. Because when he refused to be indecent with this woman, he had to go to prison. And inside prison, he served time, even though he was innocent. And that is a trial of injustice, being a victim of oppression. That was his third trial. The fourth trial was of that of al-mulk, authority and power. Because when he became free, and when he was out of prison, the king of Egypt gave him a very influential and powerful job. He was made al-aziz, the state treasurer of the country. And in that position, he acquired a lot of power and authority, which, if you think about it, is another test. Because many people, when they become rich or famous or popular, or they are given a position, it brings out the worst in them. It corrupts them. and they end up being abusive towards others. They have failed their test. And that was the fourth test of Yusuf alayhi salam. But if we go to the second, the trial of shahwa, desire, we find that this amazing prophet, Yusuf alayhi salam, he became a great example for humanity. Before this trial was introduced into his life, Allah told us the circumstances. Allah said, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah said, when he attained the ashud of his age, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. The word ashud, according to many scholars, refers to the age of maturity. Perhaps he's a late teenager or in his early 20s. A young age. Allah chose that age in which to put him into this trial, which is even more difficult. Because when you're older, your temptations are not as strong. But when you're young, in college, in university, you know how difficult it is to control your gaze and to protect your chastity. Allah said, we chose that age to put him into this test. But we gave him two things. آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا We gave him wisdom and we gave him knowledge. As if to say, if you want to succeed in a world where there is indecency, you must be grounded in the deen of Islam. You must have knowledge. You must educate yourself about the deen of Allah. Only then will you have a mind capable of saying no to such things. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And this is the way in which Allah will reward every person who tries to excel in life. May Allah make us from this category. And then Allah said, وَرَاوَدَتُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَى إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ Allah says, and then the wife of his master tried to seduce him. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ And she locked every single door. Some say it meant she locked them tightly. Put all the locks and bolts on them. And then she started to flirt with him. قَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ Come to me. And you can just imagine, subhanAllah, in that moment what it would have been like. This is the woman who is the wife of his master. Effectively, she is his master as well. And he is her slave. As far back as he can think, he's always been serving this woman, serving her husband, saying yes. And now she's asking him to do something which he knows will displease Allah. He must say no. On top of that, Allah says, "Huwa fi baytiha." He is inside her house. Meaning, this is like a castle, a palace, the home of someone rich and famous. This is not just any ordinary woman. This is a woman that most people try to chase after. Someone from the rich and famous. And on top of that, غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ She locked all the doors, meaning there's no chance that somebody's going to find out. It seems as though no one can find out what is happening. No one can see what is happening. No one can hear what is happening. And all of these factors made it even more difficult on Yusuf alayhi salam to refuse. And then she started to make advances and flirting with him. What did he do in that moment? What would you do in that moment? For most people, this is a situation which would overwhelm them, but they would not be able to say no. عِيَاذًا بِاللَّهِ Some people would, astaghfirullah, wish for an opportunity like this. May Allah forgive us. What did Yusuf alayhi salam say in that moment? You see, it's interesting. It may be the case that some of us have been in a similar situation where we said no. But because of another reason. You know, what would people say if they find out? What would my mom and dad say if they found out? I may lose my job. If people found out I was doing this, no, I won't do this. Yusuf alayhi salam, his instinct was to say, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ I seek Allah's refuge. The first one he thought of was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was where his heart was. The one main reason why I should refrain from this is, what will Allah think of me? Subhanallah. And it wasn't just Allah, it was Ma'adallah. I seek refuge in Allah. Get me out of here. I don't want to be here. I want to be with you. And then he said, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. He said, my master has been good to me. And the scholars of tafsir say this could have two meanings. It could mean, number one, he's talking about his slave master. He's looked after me all these years. He's treated me well. Would I do this with his wife? In fact, even if he meant that he didn't mean it for himself, he was talking to the lady. What's wrong with you? My master, your husband, has been good to me. I.e., are you forgetting about what your husband would think of you? For saying such things, for doing such things? And the second interpretation is, my master Allah has been good to me. And this is another amazing thing, that when you're confronted with temptation, you say, hang on a moment, am I not disrespecting Allah's blessings? He gave me knowledge. He gave me iman. He gave me a chance to do things in a halal way. And now I choose to do it in a haram way. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. I am being disrespectful to Allah. He's been good to me. How can I be bad to Allah? It's very interesting that a young man, he came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he was like just coming from Jahiliyyah. He didn't know what's right and wrong. He didn't know much about Islam. And he said to the Prophet ﷺ, you know, allow me to do zina. Imagine someone coming to the Prophet ﷺ and saying, allow me to do zina. Give me a concession to do this. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say to him? He said, would you like that for your mother? Would you like that for your daughter? Would you like that for your sister? And this is another thing to reflect over, that when you are in a haram relationship, it is not just that woman, or for the lady, it is not just that man. It is somebody's sister, somebody's daughter, maybe somebody's mother. That you are disrespecting many people when you behave recklessly like this. May Allah give us understanding and forgive us. We don't realize. And then we think to ourselves, hang on, would I like someone doing that with my daughter? To do haram with my daughter? Of course not. Okay, then why would you do it with somebody else's daughter? Subhanallah. Look at the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so what happened? When he said, Ma'adallah, I seek refuge in Allah. And he said, don't you think about your husband? What did you next? وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. He ran to the door, subhanAllah. Even though he knows that the door is locked. Every door is locked. I just saw her. غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. But yet he still ran to the door. Why? Because he was teaching us, dear brother, dear sister, Allah wants to see how much you will do to get away from this sin. Even if all you can do is go from here to that door, knowing that it is locked. And sometimes, subhanAllah, it feels like that. You're trapped in a haram relationship. Or so you tell yourself. And you say, there's no way out. I'm stuck. I can't. I'm too weak. But don't you want to show Allah you can do this much to get out of it? That you can at least do, take one step. Even if you cannot get through the door, you can still take one step towards it. And then what happened? When they both ran to the door, Yusuf alayhi salam trying to get away from the situation, Alfa ya Sayyidaha lad al-bab. It just so happened that his master, her husband, was coming home at the same time entering into that door. Subhanallah. That is no accident. It is no coincidence. Even the wording in the Quran, Alfa ya, they both found. In Arabic, the word wajada, they both found, can also be used. The difference is, al-faya means to find accidentally, unintentionally. As if Allah is saying, no one willed for this encounter. Allah willed it. Why? Because Allah saw this one, Yusuf, he is trying to get away from haram. And if anyone tries to get away from haram, I will take care of his situation. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. As Allah said, whoever is mindful of Allah, He will make out a way out for them. All Allah wants to see is for you to try. Even if we are living in a time where there is so much fitna. And subhanAllah, the smallest thing you can do is to control your eyes. To control your eyes. Al-aynani tazniyan, the Prophet ﷺ said. The two eyes, they commit zina. SubhanAllah, how much zina has our eyes committed? May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. But this is where it starts. Even subhanAllah, this week in the newspaper, there was an article that said in the London Underground, people can be, it can be considered sexual harassment if you stare at someone. I thought, subhanAllah, what is being said here? If you stare at someone, it's sexual harassment. They are talking about غض البصر, lowering your gaze. That's what they're saying. They're saying, you know what, if you stare at someone, this is not appropriate. In the 21st century, people are beginning to realize it's not appropriate to be just looking at somebody just like that. It's not good. And what our Prophet ﷺ told us 1400 years ago, don't do this. It will incite your shahwa. You will become tempted, then you will want to do the next thing. SubhanAllah al-Azim. People are talking about, they're realizing now. And the Prophet ﷺ said, when a man and woman are alone, who is the third? A shaitan. And I tell you now, as a pharmacist, that if you see someone in a consultation room and it's a lady and you're a man, you should have something called a chaperone. A third person who comes just to make sure everything is okay. SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ said, if a man and woman are alone, the third is shaitan. Don't be in that situation. And today people are saying, you know, by the way, if you have to be alone with a woman, there should be a third person. Allahu musta'an. What is wrong with our Muslims? That we hear these ahkam, these rulings from the Prophet ﷺ, and we think they have no place in the 21st century. And yet, those who disbelieve are saying, we need these ahkam in our life. Allahu musta'an. May Allah subhanahu grant us understanding. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafur rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya al-mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. The first practical piece of advice I give myself and then to you all is that we should always be suspicious of our intentions when we are communicating or interacting with the opposite gender. This is the best way to approach this matter. Because people would say, look, you know, I work somewhere where I'm going to be speaking with the opposite gender. When I go shopping, I speak to people with the opposite gender. My neighbors, you can't get away from it, people would say. That is true. But where is the taqwa? Where is the, you know what, I should be cautious though. Even if I have to speak, even if I have to communicate, where is the taqwa? The idea that, you know, I should be mindful, cautious of myself. We just heard the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ. I haven't left a fitna more harmful to men than the temptation of women. So the first thing is, okay, if I must interact, I will do so in a respectable way. And I will keep that interaction based on need. And I will always be mindful of my intentions. Because they can change. Wiswas of shaitan can come, you can develop feelings. And now, you're in trouble. So the worst thing is, somebody says, you know what, I can control my desires. I don't need to hold myself back. I can communicate and have a relationship with whoever I want. I won't fall into this sin. People who are better than you, Habibi, fell into that sin. What then about you? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. First thing, always be mindful of your intention. And the second, we will always fall into this problem. On a smaller scale, every day we will see things that we know are not right, inappropriate. We may say things or hear people say things. Especially in today's society, subhanAllah, there's so much sexualization in people's speech. You hear things. What we should always do is say astaghfirullah. Such a simple thing to say astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. But what an amazing thing to say. That you could look at something, haram, say something haram, hear something haram, and you say astaghfirullah straight away, and Allah wipes it out. Did you know that the angel who writes down our mistakes will wait in one hadith 6 hours before he records it? Why? To give you a chance to say astaghfirullah. Subhanallah. So say astaghfirullah. Just recently I was speaking to a non-Muslim. This woman was asking about fasting. So I said to her, you know, most Muslims fast. Even though most Muslims don't pray, most Muslims will fast and they will like to fast. And then she said, okay, well, what is fasting? I said, you know, this fasting, you don't eat and drink in the daytime, which will be probably 6 o'clock in the morning to about 8 in the evening. And the, what? Seriously? Not even water? I said, yeah, not even water. She said, wow, you people are tough. But then she said, yeah, but surely not everyone does it. I said, no, most people do it. She goes, yeah, but some people must, you know, eat a little bit on the side, drink a lot of water. And I said, yeah, maybe some people do that. She said, okay, ha, so what do they do then? I say, they say astaghfirullah. They say, God forgive me. And she said, what? Just like that? You don't have to go anywhere? You don't have to do anything? I said, no, you say astaghfirullah. And you believe that if you're sincere, God will forgive you. She was amazed that it is so easy for Muslims to say sorry to Allah. Absolutely amazed. She could not believe it. And it was her amazement that made me realize how beautiful Islam is. It's true. We can make mistakes and Allah wants us to ask Him for forgiveness. And He wants us and He was waiting and He was willing to forgive us even if we do bad things over and over again. So whenever you see something wrong, what should you do? Astaghfirullah. And you know what? As shaytan, he will become so annoyed. This person, I tell him to look at these filthy things and every time he says astaghfirullah, man, this is worse for me. Let me tell him to do something else now. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. SubhanAllah, the Prophet said, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, I ask Allah for istighfar wa atubu ilayh akthar min 70 marra fil yawm. More than 70 times a day. More than 70. Who is this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As somebody who has been forgiven his past and doesn't have to worry about his future, he would say it 70 times. So I advise you that in the morning and the evening, say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh 100 times. And inshallah, everything you have done wrong will be washed away. Every single thing you've done, we deal with the sincere heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free you of all of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us of all of our sins. And the last thing, as a long-term solution, those of us who are young and yet to get married, listen to the advice of the Prophet ﷺ. Ya ma'ashara shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. He said, youngsters, whoever amongst you can get married, go ahead and get married. Why? You see, today, people's idea of marriage is finding the one, the soulmate, the one who is going to be the love of your life. And though marriage, inshallah, can bring this, that's not what the Prophet ﷺ was intending when he said, get married. Because what he says after this will reveal to us the real objective behind marriage. He said, because, the reason I'm telling you to get married young is because it is more helpful in lowering your gaze and protecting your chastity. So what is he saying? He's saying that the reason you should get married is not to find the love of your life. Inshallah you do. But so that you don't fall into zina. So you don't end up doing something you regret on the day of judgment. Therefore, as parents, what should we be doing? We should be looking for a way, the quickest way, when our children are ready and they want to get them married off. Supporting them financially, giving them accommodation, whatever is within our means. We should say, you know what, I don't want this son of mine to go to college or university, and then fall into a haram relationship, even though right now, if I asked him, do you want to get married? He would say yes, and he is mature enough. Instead, you say, you know what? Forget it. Inshallah, you should be okay. And then what happens? He comes home with a girlfriend one day. You know, we need to get married. No, no, you can't get married to her. She's not the right person. We've already been in a relationship for 2 years. What do you do then? Listen to the advice of the Prophet ﷺ. Many people are doing this now, helping their children to get married early. And then even if they're in university, they are married, they may be living separately. After they graduate, inshallah, they will have their walima, they will move in together. But at least they have protected their chastity. Something that Yusuf alayhi salam was willing to go to prison for. Yeah. He said, no, and I'll go to prison. This is ahabbu ilayya, he said. It is preferable to me to go to prison than to fall into the sin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our chastity. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for all of the sins that we have committed. Every time we have committed zina with our eyes, with our ears, with our tongue, with our private parts, may Allah forgive us, purify us, and make our hearts pure, and make us people of decency. Allahumma ameen. Rabbana zalamna anfusana, wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, wa hab lana min ladunka rahma, innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar, wa aqimus salaam.